Hey guys, this is peak performance coach and physical therapist John Zombro, and you're listening to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast, where our focus is in achieving peak performance in both athletics and all areas of life through the entire lifespan. This show is brought to you by the Lifetime Athlete Peak Performance Coaching and Physical Therapy Services. This is episode number 118, and it has an interesting and perhaps controversial title: Training the Immune System. First of all, I hope today's show finds everyone safe and healthy. These are challenging times indeed, and today's topic has always been popular with my clients, but now it is more prevalent than ever. We're going to try at least to answer a few questions such as, can I actually train my immune system? And additionally, how can my training potentially impact my immunity? And also, is there anything specific that you or I can do with our lifestyle, such as sleep, nutrition, and stress management, to optimally affect immune function? As we get into this, I think the most straightforward answer is that we probably can't make ourselves superhuman. I know, it's probably not news to any of us, but at least in the way that pathogens would just bounce off of us and fall to the ground to their rapid demise, that's not realistic. But what we can do is we can work on maxing out our health, and in doing so, we ultimately achieve our highest immunity potential. And perhaps even more important, we can balance all of our habits and behaviors that we're going to talk about today to avoid suppressing immune function. So I would say it this way: it's slightly harder to make yourself more immune than a good, healthy, well-functioning human is capable, but it's certainly possible to deplete yourself and suppress your immune function if you don't do a few things right. And now's a critical time for us to make sure we're getting most of these things correct. So the first discussion point that I would like to go over is touching base on the necessity of observing the safety recommendations from the CDC and NIH and others that we're all aware of. And it's really important in an attempt to flatten the curve of disease progression and reduce the rate of infection, that we observe quarantine and isolation recommendations and distancing to the extent possible. Distancing beyond the range of droplet transmission, and also utilizing aggressive hand washing. These have all been absolutely proven to be effective and necessary. And of course, we want to make sure that we are complying to do what we can do to protect public health. From there, we look at the data, which shows the contagious nature of this particular coronavirus to be significantly more than the flu strains that we've seen recently, but quite a bit less than measles, for example. And estimates are that the majority of us are going to be exposed to this pathogen over the next few weeks to months. And I think it's important just to be realistic about that. So obviously the severity of infection will be individual and variable, but it's reasonable to expect that an organism in the peak of health with the highest level possible of immune function stands the best chance of being impacted less negatively. So that's really how we would preface what we're going to talk about today. First of all, kind of as I alluded to in the beginning, is it possible to train the immune system? I'm going to answer it this way. Well, yeah, sort of. And what I mean by that is any body system or tissue, it will respond to the demands placed upon it. And this is what's known as the SAID principle, or SAID, which stands for specific adaptation to imposed demands. And really the challenge, or maybe I should say the art form, is in finding the sweet spot of stimulus to encourage this adaptation, but to avoid overloading or overwhelming our capacities and causing breakdown. So that's really where we have this interplay of training and nutrition and lifestyle factors to have that correct balance so that we get the immune system optimized, but not overloaded. There are things we can do to augment immunity, and we're going to talk about it. But really, again, I want to say that it's so important that we avoid suppression. So now, down to nuts and bolts. How does my training impact immunity, or how can I most effectively manipulate either my immunity or my training's impact upon it? Well, I would say this. We really need to begin by appreciating how training can be graphed with immune function. And so that's going to be what would be an inverted U-shaped curve. So it's an upside-down U. And really, the evidence is very strong. If we're totally sedentary and we do no training, we actually have lower overall health and immune function than if we do a moderate amount. And moderate can be variable from person to person. And only when we go to whatever our unique being or beast decides is excessive do we, you know, have this chance for suppression or problem. So again, I'm definitely encouraging everyone to stay active during this time. Well, when we start looking at training, we really want to look at workload. And that's something we've talked about before on the show. I'll be talking about it again because it's one of those basic principles that we use here. But workload is essentially the duration of a workout or a session times the intensity. Duration is how long or how far. That could be quantified any way you like, whether that's via time measures or distance for those people who participate in that type of training. And effort is how, or intensity is how hard, or the effort that's applied. Now, workload is really the impact of both those things. And you can kind of look at it as how tired does a workout make you? That's really what the workload is or what the impact potentially is. So right now, in the face of what's going on, we really want to utilize light to moderate workloads. And this is related to your personal level and training status. So there's not one suggestion, oh, this is a medium workload for a human. Well, that's not true at all. You know, this depends on training experience and current conditioning level and age and many other factors. And so we want to always be cognizant of that. Now I'd say a few things. Be a little cautious with low-intensity exercise, and here's why. If you go long enough, as in exceptionally long in most cases, a low-intensity workout can actually be a high workload session. You know, if you're out there for several hours and that's not something that's a normal frequent occurrence for you, that's potentially overload. So we don't want to encourage you to do that right now. And also, don't fear high intensity. Just keep it brief. So there are unique benefits to high-intensity exercise, those things like heavy lifting and sprinting and explosive movement. But right now, we just need to make doubly sure that we're not doing large volumes of those things, which would then result in higher workloads. So normally, I'll be working with clients, and I'll be prescribing varying workloads, like, let's just use easy terms or simple terms, shall I say, like hard and easy. So I might say, oh, today's a hard day based on how they're doing. Then, okay, we're going to go easy for the next day and the next day after that. And then we'll go hard again. So that might be hard, easy, easy, hard. And obviously we can build lots of science into how we do that. But now I don't know that that's, I don't believe it's entirely appropriate. I think instead I would suggest, hey, let's kind of go, you know, on the easy medium range, you know, let's say the light side of moderate, almost every day for a regular health stimulus to those immune factors. We can force adaptation later. And again, we will eventually get back to that point. But now is probably the best time, excuse me, for a deload phase or maintenance period for most of us. I use a numeric system when I'm working with my clients, and it's based on 5-point scales. So I use a 5-point scale for intensity, for duration, for workload, and also for that post-training response and recovery status. Talked about it a bit before. I'll be talking about it more in the future because this system has really taken on wings of its own, and it's certainly one of the big things in a book that I'll have coming out later this year. But that's why I won't break it down too much today, but I will suggest simply that You try to keep your daily workload on the light side of medium. And it doesn't have to be the same thing every day, all the time. A moderately longish workout, again, keeping the moderate emphasized more than the longish, with doing circuit training or mobility exercises, cardio, a blend of that type of thing. But at very light intensity, that's a nice option. Then maybe the next day, a brief and intense workout, always followed by a proper warm-up that has lifts or sprints or plyometrics, is fine. We just have to keep those workouts at a duration, the intensity ones, which represents a low percentage of our capacity. For example, if you can normally do in a session, let's just say 8 times 50-yard sprints with really complete rests, just do 4 of them right now. That's kind of the idea. You know, we really don't need to overstimulate the body. Here are 2 phrases that I consider pearls of peak performance wisdom that particularly right now, in light of what's going on with COVID-19, you might find valuable. 1, your workouts need to be exhilarating, not exhausting. So let them activate you, but don't let them break you down. And then the next thing, never let today's training ruin tomorrow's. I probably don't need to explain that any further. So how about sleep? Well, even though we just talked about training, I'd say sleep is probably the most important thing when we're looking at that recovered human and optimizing immune function. I don't think any of us are going to disagree with that point. So we need to make sure we're getting ample amounts and high quality of sleep. And we need both the deep sleep and the rapid eye movement sleep. Those things do unique and necessary benefits for us. And we've talked before about how those stages of sleep fit into the cycles. And, you know, I think everyone's heard that enough that I won't touch on it here. And also the hygiene tips, which we've gone over many times with light management during the day, as far as getting some early sun and bright during the day. But in the evening, we want to dim and minimize blue wavelengths. And also all the things we do with winding down and sleeping in a cool and dark and usually quiet, unless we need a white noise app, bedroom. So again, just a few things there, but treasure your sleep and protect it right now and make sure that you're getting as much of it as you really can and need to feel good. We want to wake up every day during this phase feeling good. If you're waking up feeling trashed, it's a sign that, again, we don't have some things right and we want to get them right. Okay, stress. We could talk for a very long time, but I'm only going to do that for a minute or two. This would be a really good time to be aware of how the autonomic nervous system works. And so we have the sympathetic and the parasympathetic systems. And right now we want that parasympathetic dominance most of the time. And we want to stay there, again, for the majority of the day. We want that mostly rest and digest situation going on in the body, not the fight or flight. And that might be, an exception might be a few bursts here and there in 1 or 2 workouts a week, like we discussed earlier. That's fine. But we just don't want sympathetic or fight or flight stress to be high and chronic. That's not appropriate for human ancestral biology. Hey, be mindful, however you want to interpret that word, and also consider any type of meditative practice that works for you and your personality. Laugh, love, communicate, care and help others. All of these things are important anytime, but right now they're also valuable in reducing our own internal stress, which can be an impactor upon our immune function. Then I'll mention also cold thermogenesis, you know, which is a form of hormesis, or that's a hormetic stressor, meaning almost like a flu shot effect, where a mild amount tends to upregulate things for us, and then an excessive amount could potentially kill us. And cold, in particular cold exposure, such as a cold shower or a cold plunge, viewed as a controlled use stress or positive stress, it has been substantiated to augment the immune function. I think everyone's probably familiar with Wim Hof, the Iceman, and how he's popularized a number of those things. In fact, I fail to recall whether it was 6, 7, or 8 years ago, but it's been that long when he was in a research hospital setting and was injected with neurotoxins and essentially killed it with his focus, using his breathing techniques and other things. So it's really unique how we might be able, both through cold and breath work, to harness our immune power to higher degrees. We won't go down that too far, but keep in mind that any properly dosed stressor like exercise or heat or even many of the foods we eat can have similar effects. We also probably don't want to get overly conscientious right now and try to do everything all the time. That's really too much stress when you start adding up these items. So what about nutrition? Well, this is the rabbit hole, or it is definitely going to be one of them. First of all, there may be no superfood or supplement that has been shown in isolation to really boost the immune system. That said, it's known that consuming more than small volumes of what we call here the evil triad, that's the excess sugars, processed and refined grains, and also the industrial seed oils, those things can impair metabolism, overall health, and ultimately immune function. So we can say the don'ts are probably more powerful than the do's when we look at food, in that, gosh, right now we really don't want to be eating foods that are non-nourishing and also that have pro-inflammatory and other negative effects. Again, I mentioned before, no food, no superfood in isolation or no supplement, but there are obviously multiplicative or additive effects. When you start putting things together and you're eating a diet that's working for you, that can be very helpful. So I make sure I'm not being bogus in my statements. So for athletes, and I think, your lifetime athletes, thanks for being here with me today. If you're finding ways to keep your training going for the most part during this crisis, so again, it could be maintenance. It may not be a deload. And some of that depends on where you're at, how creative you are, again, your circumstances, what kind of equipment you have at home. Nonetheless, you want to make sure that you have enough energy availability. Avoid underfueling and getting into what's now called REDS, or relative energy deficiency in sports. This is a known syndrome, and it appears to be slightly more, females appear to be slightly more affected by this than males, but nonetheless, it does impact every athlete. And really, it just is a byproduct of chronic undernutrition. You're eating as much as you can, but sometimes you're tired, there's all this training. And so suddenly the body gets into this deficit where it's just not quite getting enough fuel, enough calories, enough macronutrients, enough micronutrients to optimize cellular and also immune function. And so if the training is still going, make sure that you're eating enough to feel energized. And that's very important. However, most of us might be more reduced in our training levels, as we discussed earlier, possibly a deload. A great time to maybe just do more walks and breath work and meditation and some stretching and hit a few workouts, but nothing too crazy. Well, this may be a super time to look at the use of intermittent fasting and time-restricted feeding. Again, these are topics that we've discussed at length here on the show, but basically it's where we compress the feeding time periods to consume our food during daylight hours over a smaller window. And thus we're spending more of the day in a fasted state than a feeding or fed state. This has been proven to enhance metabolic function and overall health, and secondarily, the immunity of the individual. So can be some benefits there. And if you want to really experiment, and it's possible to do so safely, let's say you're really going to take a relaxation break, a restoration break. You're really taking this distancing and isolation to perhaps fullest potential. You might consider doing a 3 to 5 day water-only fast where you're really doing minimal to no training. If you're able to set that up, you almost have your own meditative retreat. That has been shown to be very powerful, with, again, supporting immune function. It might not make you superhuman like we talked about at the beginning, but it will at least reset or restore your high, optimal, normal, natural level of immune function. Now, just a couple more things. They say that vitamin D is the new C, and supplements you know, may not have too much value when we start looking at supplements compared to whole foods. But then there aren't that many nutritional sources of vitamin D, although we can talk about cod liver oil. But sunshine, really sunshine, I'm going to present it as a food in this discussion. It's exponentially better with many other benefits than just vitamin D. So nourishing the body with a controlled dosage, keyword controlled, of ultraviolet B rays outdoors during a walk, if possible, with as much skin exposed as weather and modesty allows, maybe between the hours of 11 and 3, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for 20 or 30 minutes. Well, you know, all this is research proving that it can be immensely beneficial to augment health and sleep and metabolism. And of course, now I think I've built this case that all these things are interrelated and interactive as far as producing immunity. As opposed to looking at sunshine only as a source of vitamin D, look at it as an essential, natural nourishment for the human beast. Okay, last thing. Most listeners are probably becoming very familiar with, and that's newer information that all those antioxidant polyphenols in purported superfoods like broccoli, kale, blueberries, coffee, green tea, and many others, well, they're actually just hormetic stressors or diluted toxins that upregulate our internal glutathione-based antioxidant pathways. So now I'm not saying that there's not other benefits or nutrients and vitamins and minerals in these foods, but they also do contain these, shall we call them, microtoxins. Well, it's more what those foods do to us than what they contain. And that's, or at least when we're referring to the antioxidant upregulation. And so newer research really suggests that you get similar benefits from exercise, from heat, from cold, which we've already discussed. So I would say, yeah, go ahead and keep eating whatever you consider to be healthy foods and that's working for you and your planet-based diet. But recognize that more may not be better with intake. And that's so true of everything. You know, we've got that bell-shaped curve of biology. You know, we're not immune from biology as human beasts on this planet. And we really need to keep our common sense, you know, applied with science to say, gosh, you know, almost everything exists in a Goldilocks point and too little or too much. Again, that's redundant here on the show, but it's important. Basics aren't sexy, but man, they do work. So that feels like enough info for now. And it's at this time that we might define achieving peak performance as creating the most powerful immune system we can possibly have, supporting it, augmenting it. If we examine our priorities, we can certainly maintain most of our fitness and skills and conditioning gains and abilities right now. But we really need to stay vital, resilient animals. It's so important that we don't feel helpless or victimized. And instead, let's all stay empowered to be hard to kill. Now, I'm not saying that as a joke at all. I've been using that term for a long time, you know, here on the show and in my work and long before this outbreak. So I'm sincere when I suggest that doing some of the solid, evidence-based, but basic things we just talked about will make you hard to kill. And that's what it's all about. I care about you. Stay safe and healthy. This is Coach Jay-Z signing off from the Lifetime Athlete.